Hello everyone, and welcome to the Necrons Masterclass by Contact Lost with Gito, our special guest. Hello Gito, again.
Hello everyone, again.
So, what this is basically is additional content that has early access for our Patreons and YouTube members. Here we go through potential lists that you might want to delve deeper into and test them out, playing them yourself, and how they work, how they play, etc. This time we've got four lists to talk about at the ready, and we're going to jump straight into it. So I'm going to show a visual representation of what we're talking about for those of you that are watching this, not listening in any podcast places. So we're going to start with a Hypercrypt list. Now, bear in mind, I've done these on TTS, and for some reason, the Nightbringer model wasn't working. But the Nightbringer is included in all three that I will be showing in this manner. Gito, over to you. This is the Hypercrypt one.
Yes, yes. So that's one of the Hypercrypt lists you can build with the monolith. I think it's the main list that I was actually playing for some time, but it's very similar to the list that USA have at Pyra in some regards, and like there's a little bit from Team USA, a little bit from Team England that were on team on the Pyra Cup. It's basically a Hypercrypt with the two Satans, as you said, the Void Dragon Nightbringer. Then you have two blobs that are playing with Monolith. So you have Monolith that gives you ability to run with your infantry units to him. You have a unit of warriors with the Chronomancer, which allows you to drop within three, shoot, give yourself a little bit of space on objective, and after the whole turn of shooting, you can shoot them last, obviously, and then get on objective and deny your opponent primary. A very strong combo. It can also like move block your opponents, and if they try to commit and don't have the right tools, you just recall them to Monolith when you need to. The second unit that play with the Monolith is a unit of Canoptic Wraiths and a Technomancer. It's a unit that you usually want to keep closed, like taking the punch for your Satan before the Satan need to take it. So that it's all like it's a kind of screen unit or a unit you usually try to not teleport and just keep on the board. But if you need to, because your commits over, like your opponent overcommits into it, you can still, because of the Technomancer, the unit teleport it to the Monolith. And then you have Illuminor Sheras, as I see.
Say that, yes, that's him.
So the Illuminor Sheras is a very, like, for what it costs, it's a great unit. It can be skipped maybe in the Hypercrypt lists, but for what it costs, the durability and the load-up ability is just very strong. And he also gives a lot of value to Necron Warriors, giving them better AP and Armor of Contempt if it's near. It's just a very cool tech piece that is opening the games for you. He can just push onto objective or into the middle to homers and just don't give a fuck about anyone. If someone tries to kill him, your opponent need to commit way more points than what he costs, and then from the counter charges and so on, you can try to kill the stuff that were dealing with him. Then in this,
is he an infantry model?
He is an infantry model, yeah. He don't look like it. He have bigger base than the Nightbringer, but he's an infantry model for some reason. Then you have a hex mark just because he have deep strikes, so the hypercrypt works very well with him. Also, having a lone op that can is cheap enough to just stand on your home objective and can take the dimensional overlord to reposition one more unit when you're taking them off the table. It's quite okay ability. His free overwatch, his shooting back are also, for what it costs, a very good investment. Just overall, very good one. A very good unit for what it costs. And then we have reanimator, which is supposed to keep near the monolith. So when you take some casualties and teleport a unit near monolith, if they get beaten and you don't really need to get the unit like raids off the table again and like drop it somewhere, you're gonna heal a little bit more. You also heal the monolith more. You can also be in some cases in range of the Satan and heal them a little bit. Also, the raids units are very cool for that because the technomancer can heal. Either monolith or the Zetans. So basically in this list, if you don't finish off one of the big units, the big pieces, they're gonna regenerate quite rapidly. But the main reason why you have reanimator is for 75 points, it is just a quite durable unit with the 6 wounds, 3 up save, 4 up feel no pain. Like you actually need to shoot something quite nasty into him, and if you don't, he's gonna heal a lot through the game. Then you have like solo Locust Destroyer, which is just a unit you need to have in your army to just stand somewhere. Then you have the 6-man unit of bikes. One of them have Tesla, 5 of them have particle casters. I think that's the most controversial unit in this list. It basically trying to do what warriors are doing, but for way cheaper. And the idea of it is to, when the warriors would take too much of a hit, or your opponent have tools to deal with warriors, and you don't need to like take 3 objectives for your opponent at the same time. You just need to like take 1 objective, maybe when you kill something, you just need to take 2 objectives. You have a unit that also can be dropped within 3 inches, also can move after they shot. They have enough shooting to kill like chaff units with their particle beamers. And they have the Tesla that gives them assault, so they can do actions after they advanced if they really need to. They have 9-inch scout, 12-inch move, 6-inch move out they shot. They can advance and shoot. Like, they are really, really fast unit, and every single one of those two blades is OC2, so you can steal objectives for your opponent quite easily. And then you have a 3-man unit, same idea that you have something that can like maybe steal objectives in your opponent, but they also, if you play fix, can be a unit that will do, or even if you play tactical and you get like behind enemy lines and something stupid in turn one, they can move 9 scout, 12 with their movement, then advance, shoot, and move 6 more, which is your deployment, your opponent deployment zone every time. And if you need to do homers in your opponent deployment zone on a decent roll to advance, they can also do it. So just opening of the game unit, basically, for what they cost, they are quite good.
And they also have a scout move, so...
Yeah. As I said, like the both units have scout move, which is... And a 9-inch scout move, which is huge.
Yeah. Are you taking the infiltrations and Canopter Courts? So never mind that. Are there any enhancements on the characters here?
Yeah, I don't remember it like exactly, but I think the Chronomancer have the 4-year-old to hit for warriors. It obviously works better if you have a Plasma Mancer in the unit. But for what it costs, it makes them not hit on force, because they got nerfed between like 9th edition, 10th edition. So now they are hitting on force. He makes them full reroll when they deep strike, which just makes them like deal some damage and actually like clear chaff from objectives before they gonna do their move after shooting. It's not mandatory, it's just how the points work out, and I think it's quite okay. Like this, in my opinion, in this particular list, is better than one more solo locust. Yeah, overall the list is focused, like you have basically a huge blob of the Nightbringer, Void Dragon, Monolith, Reanimator, Wraiths that are pushing one of the flanks, and then you have like three pieces that can steal objectives for your opponent quite decently, like the warriors with Chronomancer, that like basically the units that can move up after they shot. And like between that and 3-inch deep strike, you can like quite decently steal objectives from your opponent.
Yeah, that's a lot of mobility.
Yeah, exactly. So the list is not that much about killing. It's usually about you have like a huge ball of durable stuff that can also punch quite decent if it gets close. Plus a lot of primary denial, and you also do your scoring quite decent.
So in terms of secondaries, what does this list want to play? Do you want to be playing tactical so that you can occasionally get an extra CP just to have the CP for the pulling back of the warriors or race? And the other stratagems as well, like the 3-inch deep strike you'll probably be using quite often, or are you comfortable playing fixed and just using those bikes for turn one homers for 4 points? And
yeah, I think you can do both. In most cases, I would just pick, like, depending on the mission, your opponent, and so on. But like a safe bet is behind and homers. It's just okay. You can do also like cleanse and homers. In that case, like some of the units can like string out on two objectives and do cleanse on two objectives at the same time. And you can also play tactical. But if I want to really play tactical, I think I would like reduce the big 6-man bike unit to 2-3 men in total and just have like more chaff.
Okay.
Just like solo units to make that tactical, basically the cards came better.
Yeah, so tactical. Right. And what are the really good pairings for this kind of hypercrypt list, and what are some bad ones?
Yeah, so the question is quite simple. Can your opponent deal with warriors easily? If your opponent cannot deal with warriors and they're gonna do the trick with your primary disappearing multiple times, this list is gonna smash it. It might struggle into like very, very aggressive armies, like maybe World Eaters or like the resurgence of Blood Angels, because it doesn't really have that much damage. It has a lot of the tricks, it's quite tanky, but those armies are just insane damage. And at the same time, quite survivable. So it a little bit depends, but I think it might have problems against those armies. And they will maybe have problem against Votan if they are played very well and have like at least a blob, but preferably two blobs of Terminators, the hard guard. Half guard. Yeah. So, and those might be quite difficult. It might not be that good against guard if you'd go second, because you're running away near monolith don't really work that well, because the artillery is faster than teleporting, as we can clearly see in this game. So that's that. But like, if you get like, I don't know, Eldar matchup, you're gonna just smash it completely. If you get like I don't know, maybe sisters. No, like that's the problem. I really prefer the Canoptech, and I'm thinking like, I try to compare this one to Canoptech, and just Canoptech is just straight up better. But like, if you get like good matchups, this is gonna be better at it. Maybe some DevGuard list will have problems with it, depending on the list. Like, it's pretty much a question, can you deal with the units that are gonna steal, try to steal your primary? If you can't, you fucked. If you can, then we have a game.
Okay. Anything else you want to add about this Hypercrypt list, or shall we move on?
I think we should. We can move on.
Okay. So next up, we've got something also very interesting. My screen is not showing what I want to show, so give me a short moment to bring up the next list. There we go. But it's not the Annihilation Legion, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I think that kind of list is a little bit out of the ordinary. So it's basically two Setans, a blob of raids, and then all the shooting you can get. I think it has its strong matchups when you can just shoot your opponent off the table. Like, I don't know, against some of the Tyranid lists, not the Endless Swarm, but some of the others, you can just kill them very, very quickly with all your shooting. So you have Nightbringer, you have Void Dragon. The Wraith unit can be changed for a Transcendent Setan. So then you have your typical archetype of spamming Setans and just winning, because you're basically doing a stat check on your opponent, and if your opponent don't have good tools to deal with Setans, and you have whole bunch of shooting units behind it, like the three big units of heavy destroyers, the unit of usual normal locusts, like you have quite a lot of shooting. You have some some secondary games with the solo locusts, Hexmark, and Tomb Blades, three main Tomb Blades unit as described before. The usual idea is you bring a Setan spam unit list that was playing before the monoliths were used so much in Hypercrypt, at least in Poland. That was the meta for some point, for some time, that the monoliths weren't really played, and we played a lot of Setan in the Hypercrypt. But changing one of the Transcendents into a Wraith unit with a Technomancer, just because I think a lot of armies start to build their lists to deal with Setans, and that Wraith unit is like just doing wonders to keep your Setan alive by taking charges on themselves, exposing themselves first, taking the healing from Technomancer, and just fixing the Setans a little bit more. So I think it's basically like, it's gonna make your Setans live longer than having one more Setan, and you can, like, you know, lose one and then you still have two, and here you try to not lose any and just like do raids to the dying part.
Right, so this is also Hypercrypt. Would you say it plays very differently to the previous list. I think it does, right? Yes. Without the monolith.
Yes. This one tried to kill you and start to check you with the Satans pushing you. So the previous one was trying to deny you points. This one tried to deny you living. Yeah, and I think you're missing...
Very thematic.
I think you're missing a Triarch Stalker in it. Or I did something wrong.
Let's see. Let's see what you've sent to me. No.
That might be... Okay.
You must have missed it.
Yeah, I must have missed it. Yeah. So in similar list, very often what you do, you bring the Triarch Stalker, because if he shoots something... It's ignores cover for all your army after mm-hmm. that, so it makes this shooting way more efficient, especially the little shots heavy destroyers with the Lord having KP1 and then ignore cover. It's very good. Yeah, and also it's a piece with the scout move, which helps you turn your player turn one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
so it can't be included in this kind of list.
Right. And the same question again. What would you say are some good matchups for this list? What would you say are some bad ones?
Okay, so for example, the Iron Storm, all the great gladiators lists,
mm-hmm.
I think might struggle against this, because this, if you put the Locust Lord in the big unit of Locust, the six-man unit, you have a pretty decent unit to shoot the vehicles. Then you have mm-hmm. your six heavy shots from the heavy Locust Destroyers. You still have your Satans, especially Void Dragon. If he touches the vehicles, he's just going to kill them. Yeah. But it has its problems also, which is basically if you're gonna start to get tagged, you can't really do much with all the locusts that shoot.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't go back into reserves when you're in engagement range, right? And then you also don't have any fallback and shoot mechanisms mm-hmm. With destroyers, so.
Yeah.
That could be a solution, but they're still hard to catch if they're jumping around.
Yeah, yeah. You basically focus
on solid range.
Build a wall of Wraiths and Satans and shoot from behind it, and then you teleport on the other side and do the same again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, so those were the two Hypercrypt lists that we were going to discuss. Anything mm-hmm. else to add on the Hypercrypt Legion?
Yeah, you can build list in between those two. You can build list that will deny your opponent points and have monolith with the warrior trick and still have some shooting and damage potential. Or you can have monolith, a lot of satans, and a warrior blob without any bikes, without any other tech pieces, just mm-hmm. to have that one or two turns of warriors doing the nasty denying primary, and then the satan doing the stat check and just, you know, pushing your opponent off the table. You can mix and match all those approach between stat checking with sedans, killing your opponent with decent shooting because you're mobile, and denying your opponent's points. And I think all of those approaches, depending on if you're going singles or you're going teams, and what's your role in a team and what matchups you want to target, you can be quite flexible with mm-hmm. the Hypercrypt list. What do you want to really prey upon? So the Hypercrypt lists will have very different matchups depending on the list, which is not usually true about canoptic lists.
Mm-hmm. So Hypercrypt is I want to say more volatile, but I don't think that's the word I'm looking for. So you have more greens and reds, and the Canopticord is a bit more flat,
if
we can call it that, having a lot more yellows across
like the basically meta. Depending how you build your hypercrypt, you're gonna have some matchups that are very good and some matchups that are quite bad. You can also try to build a list that will just deny your opponent scoring and score like all the points from secondaries on fix no matter what. And that's also an idea of a list. But if you want to build something that's going to play against anything, I think Canoptech is still better if you do it properly.
Okay. We'll get to that. Actually, let's jump into the Canopticord. So I'm going to present another list. It again still has the Nightbringer in it, even if he doesn't show up. And there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So good. What's in this one?
Okay, so this one have 3 units of Wraiths, through 3 Doomstalkers, Hexmark Destroyer because Lonob good, the Illuminor Sheras because being tanky Lonob is even better than being a Lonob. And also in the Canoptech, he actually can punch the targets he want to punch quite well, like, I don't know, 8 bounds. Maybe not necessarily the exalted ones, but the usual ones he can kill quite efficiently, like chosen, like basically any like Space Marines profiles, he's gonna be very happy killing. Like, he's quite decent at what he does. He also can like threaten to deal some damage to Rhino to finish it off or like start chipping away on it with his shooting between his shooting and melee. Like, he's a very, very solid piece. And then we have a unit of Tesla Immortals with the Chronomancer. So basically, if you're playing the Canoptic card, you should usually have some unit of Immortals. And you usually, in my opinion, you should have them on Teslas because Assault is very good. And 4 reroll to hit when your 6/6 double sustain are really good. Though you have still a choice, and both choice in my opinion are correct. You can have a Chronomancer for the unit to be a little bit more tanky and much more survivable because they move after they shoot and they are more mobile at the same time. Or you can have a Plasmamancer, which is just rough damage. Just like the Plasma Monster itself, he deals a lot of damage than the unit that is having the sustain, the critical on fives. So you can have sustain on fives. You can have, in that case, even lethals if you take Gauss on fives. And between that and full reroll to hit, it gets really nasty both directions. Like, if you go for lethals on fives or sustain on fives with free roll to hit because of the power matrix is just nasty to have that unit. And you kind of need something to deal with the little chaff running around. You don't really want your Wraith unit chasing cultists or like Norglings. Yeah. And then to finish it off, there's 3 units of like chaffy little objective monkeys, objective, I don't know, grabbers that like stay behind when you clear area, which are 2 units of solo Locust Destroyer because they are the cheapest unit you can have in the codex for 30 points. And they are like, for what they cost, they are quite decent. Even if like they don't die to a random last gun because they are still strength toughness 6, 3 up save, 3 wounds for 30 points, which is quite okay. And then you have 1 unit of 3 main unit of Scarabs, which are in Canoptech quite funny in some cases because they are 40 points, they're cheap, from the codex and the index change, they get OC if there is a cryptic within six.
Mm-hmm.
And playing Canoptic, you have a lot of cryptics, so they can have OC. And at the same time, they are Canoptic, so they can get Lone Op and moving away. In most cases, there is no point wasting that very very good stratagems on them. Mm-hmm. But if you don't expose any Doomstalkers, if you don't expose any raids in like turn one, for example, in some cases like against Ward Eaters, you don't really want to overexpose those units. If you're going first, you can just send Scarabs and string them out on objective. And if someone commits into them, but like commits just a little bit, so for example, gets within 9 inches, and with the melee unit, you can just run away. Or if it, someone like want to shoot them, but want to shoot them from far away because they don't want to get close to raids, you can loan up them. So they are like very nice tech piece. And also like they're at the start of the fight phase, they can explode. They read some mortal wounds, which is very cool. Overall, this list, I think is the controversial thing here is having only two Technomancers, because Technomancers are good in raids units.
Mm-hmm.
And the basically the choice was I was playing this list with three Technomancers and only one solo Locust Destroyer, which given me one more like enhancement. Here you have infiltration on one of the raids unit and have the CP region on the Chronomancer, just because the guard matchup exists. And if you're going second into guard matchup, if they have Wolgrins, kind of want to have that additional CP to run away with the infiltrating unit and at the same time have Lone Op somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's something. Yeah, and the idea, okay, I'm going to get back to the why there's only two units of Technomancers. So, in my games, when I was playing the list with three Technomancers, I find out that very often the unit of raids that is not on the front line, the first to go, don't really need the Technomancer that much, because I'm pushing my opponent fast enough between using my shooting, using my wraiths, the mortals, flyover mortals, and between doing their like some damage in melee. They are not amazing, but in some against some targets they are like decent. You don't really need that much of more durability in the list when you don't have any chaff to hold your backline, and you like spore mines doing behind homers in your deployment zone all the game. And if mm-hmm. you want to prevent that, you need to keep like a Doomstalker back there. He cannot like push. So what I just traded is some safety of having three units of durable raids for more better secondary play for me, and at the same time worse secondary play for my opponent, plus in some very specific matchups not having infantry keyword, like against play like Death Guard in some cases can be quite good, and also in some cases the only defense for even raids is either Lone Op or running away, because if they get caught, they die, because like half of the army gonna fight them. In that cases, not having the character in it, it's like lowering the cost of the one of the first raids. If you send them first and you only relying on running away and Lone Op for their survival, which is like very edge case, but you know, yeah. So basically that I traded just a little bit mm-hmm. of defensive stats for much better place with the chaff units. Overall, also, what I find very cool about this list is I'm surprised how Immortals with Chronomancer and Sheras are into very specific damage profiles. Like, for example, in Mirror, if your opponent don't have Pyrometrics, you can quite easily just jam Immortals with Chronomancer and Illuminar Sharas Nier into Wraith's unit and just stay there. Like, Wraiths don't have fallback and charge.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually hold them for a turn, because Wraiths in that case would be hitting on fives, and the Immortals would have 3-up save because Armor of Contempt from Sharas. Also, similar stuff holds true against like a little beaten up unit of Bulgrin. You can also tie the Bulgrin unit with that. And because Illuminor Sharas is so fucking tanky that it's unbelievable, he costs 160 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of understand why, but at the same time, it's a ridiculous defensive profile for what it costs. You can do silly stuff like charging Immortals and Sharas into 3-man unit of Exalted and Angron and saying, you know, for this turn, you're going to stay with me and you will not kill it, because like Sharas is decent against killing the eight mounts, so he's going to kill some. And mm-hmm. after that, between -1 to hit, Armor of Contempt, even the swipe from Angron, you save on force. And he cannot really kill Sharas, which is extremely tanky, and Immortals at the same time. So you can like very often grab something with them. And usually what the Immortals do is like they, for 2 or 3 turns, they just jump out, shoot something, move back, mm-hmm. and just clear chaff. But at some point, they are very fast way to get a lot of OC on the objectives, and in edge cases they can like grab someone, hug, and don't let go. Also, if they are near Sharas and you have power matrix and your opponent is on an objective, they are quite decent in melee, because they turn this unit to have like 20 attacks on 3s for reroll with strength 4 AP1 for reroll, which like can kill the weaker profiles, even can kill like I did on the Pyra, like a couple of Warp Talons or some Raptors, like between their melee of them and the Chronomancer, they can actually deal a surprising amount of damage, considering they should be like no melee unit
mm-hmm.
base. Yeah, so the list is basically a pressure list that also rely in some case, like it's basically live and dice on the true stratagems, running away and Lonop, which makes it so you don't really trade raid units very mm-hmm. often. Usually just trade either no damage on them, or just you spend CP and your opponent exposes himself and you can punch back afterwards, or you prevent your opponent to committing too much into them, so you lose only some raids, they're gonna start to reanimate, you change the fight into like grinding contest, and between you reanimating and healing with Technomancers, at some point you're gonna win. Like those stratagems are also, the running away and the loan up are really good to spread damage over your army. Usually mm-hmm. like at some point, you will not be able to protect every unit in your army with the Lone Op, but you can make it so that your opponent spreads damage between different units, and the Wraiths are tanky enough that you can allow that. For example, Tyranids, the Vanguards, like have so squishy unit. If something shoots at the unit that would get Lone Op, it's gonna probably kill it or kill enough that it's gonna be irrelevant. If you mm-hmm. shoot a little bit out of raids, and after that they get Lone Op and they get reanimation, they get heal from Technomancer, and you needed to change target and shoot other unit of raids, you spread the damage between two units, both gonna reanimate, both gonna heal a little bit, and you don't do, like you do way less damage after the reanimations because you spread damage between different units. Mm-hmm. So that's very, 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 very how it usually goes with this list. Also, between 3 Doomstalkers, Sharas, and the Immortals, this is enough shooting that against like very melee-focused armies, you can pull out the edge because you have shooting they don't really do. And you have also quite a lot of Overwatches that can be deadly, like Doomstalkers having Overwatch on 5+, and with the Pyrometries having ability to have free roll. Then a Hexmark can also fire Overwatch for free, even the same turn, and hitting on twos with 6-2 damage one, but strength 6-2 damage one, ignore cover. Before it was precision, now it's ignore cover. I think it's actually a buff for a Hexmark that it has that. So, like, you, what I often found is my opponent needs to commit very hard into raids so they don't run away, or either he takes a risk or need to commit very hard into raids, because he can stay outside of risk a 9-inch charge. If he fails, I have enough shooting to punish him. And if he tried to commit like very deep into me, I can also make his charges longer, or shoot Overwatch with Doomstalker, then shoot Overwatch with Hexmark. So one when he finishes moving, one when he starts to charge. And between those two Overwatches, like, I don't know, 20 men, orcs unit can get reduced enough that when they connect into raids finally, they not just not gonna wipe them, just kill like most of raids. But then you like pull back the raids a little bit, you have another turn of shooting, and like next turn raids are good to go back into the fight.
You reanimate again.
Yeah, so it's basically this list play a little bit like chess. You always protect your figures with other figures, if you know what I mean. Like, you don't overextend. Like, even though I have infiltration, and very often if I go first, the infiltrating unit, even though he could connect into my opponent first, I don't do it. You just cannot overextend. What you do, you keep all the raids in a position that they can get be supported by the other units, an Eyebringer or your shooting, and just force your opponent to do bad trades because you have your lone op and your running away strat.
So do you really not lack the feel no pain on that third Wraith unit?
Yeah, so as I discussed, in cases when you don't really use three units of Wraiths as a stat check in this detachment, because if you do, and a lot of armies just can deal with them, because you don't have that much damage, you really, your damage is really your shooting, an Eyebringer, and like, it's between all that little mortal wounds, dev wounds from raids, your shooting, and Eyebringer. That's your damage. And to bring that damage to bear, you need your opponent to kinda connect into you. So, and for him to connect not efficiently, you don't build a wall of raids. You just expose your units in such a way that between the running away and lone op, you will make your opponent have bad trade or don't trade at all, because you're gonna lose a little bit of raids. You're gonna lose whole units. So very much what happens often is the two raids units with Technomancer are dancing in front of my army, and then the third unit of raids is like a counter charge or like a finishing move after you already done the damage and you just need bodies to push on the objectives. And in the opposite circumstances, when even if they had feel no pain, they would not survive very well, it's exposing them first and using lone op and running away on them. So your opponent still need to connect, like commit deep into you. Losing a little bit less points can be good. And most of the units that can actually kill raids quite efficiently have either plus one to wound because you have a character, or like four rerolls because you have a character unit or a monster unit. So like Alarus Custodians. I mean, I don't saying like they kill the raids, but like the units that are dangerous to raids are often like either you need to be a vehicle or monster or have a character in a unit. And at the same time, if something kills them anyway, or like almost kills them anyway, it's just a cheaper trait to not have the Technomancer. And as I said, there is nothing wrong with having three Technomancers. It's just that during my games, I find out that I really need three Doomstalkers to deal damage and to have like units that cover me with Overwatch. I need Hexmark because Overwatch, but the more importantly, it Hefax Guard and other like shooting gunline armies, because you have a lot of that can stand on objective and it's basically safe when you have like Wraiths doing stuff in front of him. Then you have the Sheras, which is just insane value and gives your Immortals actually quite a bit of damage into a lot of profiles between the ignoring, between the solar pulse that ignores cover, between them having plus one better AP and better armor save, and him being just extremely efficient data sheet, and actually the data sheet that opens most of the games, because in this detachment, if he goes like in front of your army and start doing, for example, homers or stand on the objective, you either need to bring OC to like over OC him, and his OC is three, so it cannot be something silly like a Rhino. You'd actually need to send something that have a little bit OC, and that's the best way to deal with him for like one or two turns. But if you try, you need to kill him, or you want to kill him, because he's like blindly pushing into your lanes because you don't give a fuck. If you kill him, you need to commit something that is quite big and nasty, and then you get the reward for killing him is plus one to hit, plus one to wound for all the canoptic units. So all the Doomstalkers or the Wraiths have plus one to hit, plus one to wound. So you really need him also. You need Tesla Immortals to clear chaff, so you don't chase other stuff with the units. So coming like down to it, you need three units of Wraiths, you need three Doomstalkers, you need Hexmark, you need Sheras, you need Immortals. And that means you have like 30 points to spare, which is one Locust Destroyer. And what you cut to get a little bit more chaff? And the answer was for me one of the Technomancers, because it is not as important. It's a safer play to have the third Technomancer, but if you play your game right, the unit, the one of the Wraith unit will not be used in the capacity that requires them to have the 5 plus final pain to work. Like, if you need to plan ahead, you need to be more safe, you need to like plan your game a little bit better, because one of the Wraith units is a little bit different than two others. But if you do it correctly, I don't think it impacts the game that much. And having more chaff is a huge difference, actually.
That was a very comprehensive answer. And the thing that you've mentioned last, so having more chaff, actually brings me to my next question. So again, about secondaries, does this list feel comfortable playing tactical? Because again, you need to have 2 CP in your, at least 2 in each of your opponent's turns. That's by the sound of it. So one for the reactive move, one for loan up. And ideally, you want to be overwatching with the Doomstalkers each turn.
Yeah, yeah. So this list in previous iterations have Illuminor and the Stormlord to have a bit more OC, more CP. So he gave like the third CP during the battle round in your command phase. So you have 2 CP in your command phase. But because he is not here, and in some matchups you need more CP, this list can play tacticals. Though what I found is if you like be very restrictive to yourself about how you use your CP, in most cases, excluding no loss armies matchups, which is basically guard and maybe some of the sisters lists, because whirlwinds are not that good of a profile into you. So basically it's guard or sisters with like two or three exorcists, which you also can't, like exorcists don't have range on the whole table. So turn one, you don't need the lone up that much. You probably will need it, but you know, it's doable without it. Between those two matchups, the first turn or two, you can like get some CP that you will not spend. And then during the game, that's your like free CP to spend during the game. And because this list have the Illuminor Sheras and quite good board control, I would say you could... I usually play fixed with it, which is homers and preferably killing something that my opponent gives a lot. If it's not... It can be cleanse if I play very defensive game against something, because Wraiths have pistols, even if they get caught in melee at some point, they still can do actions in melee. Or like engage, but engage is like a secondary pick, because you want to play in a very, very specific way. So usually what I would do is play fixed and pick homers and something that your opponent gives. You don't need to aim to max out the score on the secondaries during that. You just need to get close to the max scores and win by denying your opponent primary and scoring primary with this list more. But in some cases, when there is like not good secondary to go with homers, you can definitely play tactical and should be fine. It's not the best list to play tactical, but between matchups that actually matters for you to play tactical. So for example, World Eaters, I think you either can play fixed and play very defensively, or play tactical and play like very stretching your opponent out into different directions, and between the tool Solo Locus and the hex mark that can is free in the deep strike, don't need to stand on your home objective and deny your opponent no lost ability to take your home objective. He can go into deep strike and also be like a secondary monkey. So there are actually like ways to play tactical with this. What I, as I said, usually when I play it, I play fixed just because there is something that your opponent gives. Either it's assassination or bringing down, or the mission is very, very good to play. I don't know, something like a cleanse, because you're playing six objectives and like one unit of Wraiths or one unit of Immortals can do like big cleanses during like turn 3, 4, 5 when you're pushing your opponent to the table.
Okay, I've got one last list. It doesn't have a TTS representation because I only saw it earlier today. However, we're going to just put something on screen in a second. This is a list played by Josh Roberts. He's just won the Goonhammer GT this past weekend, I believe it was. It's also Canoptic Court, which didn't seem to be the more popular option, as we've said in part one of the Codex review. But it is Gitta's much more preferred one. So let's go through it. So Canoptic Court, Illuminor Zeras, then three triple Plasmancer and just triple Technomancer. 10-man unit of Immortals and 2 5-man units, and then 2 units of Acanthrites, 2 Doomstalkers, 2 units of Scarabs, and finally 3 units of Wraiths, presumably all joined by the Technomancers. So
all Immortals, yeah. So all Immortals have Plasma Mancer, or Wraiths have Technomancer. So basically, this list is what I like. I had a not the same list, but a similar idea of list. Answering question: what happens when Satans gets nerfed? Yep. And because like during my games with Canoptic, I find out that Nightbringer is actually one of the worst pieces in the list that we were discussing before. So I was wondering with similar stuff. And as we can see, Josh Roberts already like show us the way what you can do if you don't want to play any Satans in Canoptic. You can just pick 3+1 answers, which are quite a lot of mortal wounds and quite decent profiles also in shooting. So basically the Canoptic card have one problem, and it is killing very tough like vehicle stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that, you either need to like roll very well or Doomstalkers, which you shouldn't like really rely upon, or you need to use a lot of like the Wraith's rule to fly over vehicles, which is also unreliable and can be countered by your opponent if they do it right, because you need to make a normal move, not a fallback, for example. So what you need is some way to deal damage to tougher units like vehicles. And in this list, instead of bringing Nightbringer, which is like very cumbersome, like very slow, very hard to use damage dealer against like big tough units, the Josh Roberts brings 2 units of Scarabs, which do mortal wounds when they charge in, and 3 units of Plasma Mancers, which deal mortal wounds, and between power metrics, giving them 4 reroll to hit, because they base hit on force, but they have really good weapon. They have 3 shots, as I remember, strength 7, AP 3, damage 2. So a very decent like shooting profile for 55 points. In the Canoptic card, they get 4 reroll to hit, so the 4-up hitting 4-up is not that big of a problem. And because they are joining immortals, if your opponent is standing on an objective, they get 4 reroll to wound. Also, they get ability because it's Canoptic to ignore cover. And Sharas, because they are joining immortals, gives them better AP. So you can have 4 reroll to hit, 4 reroll to wound, 3 shots, 7-3, 7 minus 4 damage 2, ignore cover. Mm-hmm. And you have 3 units of those. And also, every single of those Plasma Lancers has the ability to roll a dice. You, I think, select the unit within 18 of the Plasma Lancer, and you roll 4 dice, on a 4-up is a mortal. Then you have more. So to sum it up, you have quite decent shooting with them, and between them doing mortals, Scarabs doing mortals, especially good into vehicles because they have like +1 to the roll, so they always do at least d3 and a 5+, they do 3 mortals. And afterwards, if the Scarabs don't die, they reanimate the guy because they lose the whole base. So no matter what you roll, if they don't get damaged, you get the guy back. So every turn you can do it. And between that, so Plasma Master, Scarabs, Wraiths having flyover mortals, which works basically like a grenade, but a little bit more difficult to use, but it's no CP. Also using your the move stratagem allows you to move over stuff and do mortals also. If the 6-inch reactive move, also if you manage to fly over something, you can do mortals again. And the Wraiths having quite a lot shots with strength pistols with strength 5, AP 0, damage 1, but dev wounds, you can like not kill vehicles with one huge shot, but just have so many sources of cheap damage, mortal wounds, dev wounds, that you just melt them slowly. Like you grind against them, but you have so many sources, you just actually kill very tough units with that. So it's basically like different approach to dealing with very tough units. One of the ways is bring up the Nightbringer or Void Dragon. I prefer Nightbringer because of the base size. The other idea is to bring a lot of heavy locust destroyers with their big guns, but they don't really benefit with from the detachment, and they are quite expensive if you consider other options. And the third option is, as we can see, bringing plasma mancers, which are a very nice source of like a sustained damage to anything and a very good damage into a lot of profiles. Like they cut through plague marines like it's no tomorrow, like they just delete them between all of that shooting. The only problem I have with this list is that the plasma mancers in the immortal units, even though they benefit from armor of contempt from the Illuminar Sharas, are still decently squishy. So if someone have, for example, like very decent Nolas shooting or can like tank the turn of damage because of chaff or something, they can just take the damage on themselves and after that shoot back at the immortals, they will just fold. But at the same time, it's a very cool idea to have only a plasma mancer with immortals, like 5-man units of immortals. So it's, if I recall correctly, 125 points. So it's so much damage. Also can be objective monkeys because immortals have assault. Like there is so many layers for that unit to be actually good, like what they can do. And I really like that approach. I didn't have this exact approach. I was having a similar ideas with plasma mancers in some capacity, but I really like the idea of having three of them and just being nasty with how efficient they can be for their points. The only problem I have with this list is obviously giving a lot of assassinate, and the assassinate is not really on a difficult target. Like the plasma mancers is quite easy to pick up. You're also gonna pick up like one or two technomancers. So, yeah.
Okay, that was a very thorough analysis, as always, from Gita. I've got two last questions for you. They're not any list related, but Sam has asked them in our contactless Discord. So first up is, what is your process for keeping things fun, fresh, and engaging when building and playing new lists? As generally, playing the same faction for many can get old quickly, but not for you. So how do you do it?
Okay, so I experiment with a lot of stuff and a lot of different weird stuff. So I usually have a list that is like I know is don't do me well for a long time. But I like try to find like little tweaks and little changes, and I test like little changes. So in the context of the context of the list, like it's not a huge change that it's make the list unworkable, like don't work. But you do small adjustments, see how different units perform when you do small adjustments. For example, is the dropping one of the technomancers, like looking at the games, what can I improve? How can I, what happens in the game that I can change and maybe get some edge, and like what different I can bring. Also, I sometimes play very like wacky list just so, you know, for fun. Like at one point, it's actually not a Necron related army that I play fun list, but you know, weird stuff happens if you play that Warhammer for that long and that much. So I played like with a huge guard Crasius transport filled with Ogryns that were coming out and shooting with AP 3 or 4, ignore cover for your ult wound. Like, you know, some wacky idea. Just sometimes you take detox by playing something weird, and from playing something weird, some ideas and some like in the smaller scale stuff can stick into the lists. Or if you have a very well built list that you feel it's optimal, trying to find an edge by looking what happened in like a couple of games you had. So for me was, I'm losing more points for my opponent dropping like, I don't know, 5 scions in my deployment zone than me having a little bit less durable units of raids. So I need to find chaff. I know that rest of the list works very well and I can't really drop any of the components, or I can, but that's going to expose me to one of the armies. And I, if I want to have like very good matchups against all of them, I gonna need all those pieces. So what can I drop? And the choice was to drop the one of the Technomancers, because it makes my game for me, it gets my game to be more clear. I need to play better. I can't make as many mistakes and I need to plan ahead more. But if I do it correctly, I have higher ceiling to get, right, basically. Because I'm denying my opponent's points, my secondary game is better. I just need to be more careful how I position my raids and which unit of raids go where. Yeah, so like a couple of things. Experiment with like wacky list, play for fun sometimes, just like take a detox. Then maybe try to think what worked in that weird list. Or pick a list that works very well and include like small pieces that seem not really that good, but just like find something interesting in them. And also that's gonna be mind-blowing to some of the people that know me. I also like not know me, but not don't know me very well. I also like to play like very bullshit lists from other armies. I don't own them. I just play them on TTS for like 1 or 2 games. But changing the perspective of a other army and like trying the stuff in other lists. Like, I know, for example, I know Necrons don't have this much good melee. And I know that buffs to melee are very hard to come by in Necrons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to feel how the army works when I have something that is very good in melee, buffs melee very well, and scales like melee. So I play a Khorne Demons list with the Bloodthrones for a couple of games. And like, you know, get a different perspective on stuff, or I played like a guard a couple, like I'm actually at this point playing guard pretty consistently because I think it's one of the more fun armies to play, despite it work, it look from afar that you just stand there and shoot your artillery, but actually doing everything properly and because you have so many points in artillery, using the stuff that is fighting for the board efficiently, it's actually quite a skill to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just experiment with different stuff and sometimes take a break from the serious list. But by doing that, also thinking about what can I learn from that, right?
Sure, yeah. Trying to apply it to your like main game. Sam's asked the second question, although I think you've actually already covered that. Nevertheless, when a faction is strong, it is often very easy to take the obvious powerful thing, i.e. Catan and Wraiths in most Necron builds currently. How do you dig deeper and try find those niche units that aren't immediately powerful? Anything to add?
Yeah, so if I have a little bit of time, because I don't know, I'm using the toilet, I'm just like scrolling the codex and looking for a weird stuff that I can find and what the unit can actually do looking at the whole meta. You need to actually be quite deep into the meta and understand the game quite a lot to know which unit will do what in what pairing, right? But like there are some obvious picks. Like if for some reason Thousand Suns and Grey Knights would be smashing the tournaments, it's very easy in Necrons to just look at, oh, there's that guy like Canoptic Sentinel, which gives me 4-up Finlow Pain aura against psychic weapons, and he's also like very decent profile against killing Space Marines and surviving damage from Space Marines, ish, the Grey Knights and Thousand Sons actually. So, you know, having like a pick there, or I don't know, like it just comes to me naturally at this point, but I think what it comes down is just don't stop going through the ideas in the codex, like always just like read the whole codex from start to end again and think about during that, like it's just that. Like I think Duda also, like the Team Poland last year captain and like long time member of Team Poland team, he also like very often mentions that he's just scrolling the Eldari codex for hours and hours when he have like a little bit of free time, you know, like doing something that don't require you to use your hands, and you know, we know what we're talking about. Yeah, you just scroll the codex and like try to find something new, and like he found the Fugan, right? Like before he played him on WTC, I didn't see a single list with him. Maybe there is someone that was like sold on him and play him before, but I didn't see this guy. So I'm sorry if there is someone listening and he's the inventor of Fugan in Aldari list. Not do that. But from my perspective, he was the guy that bring this data sheet up, and it's like on the paper, looking away from it, like he's not leading a unit, but he like supposed to lead a unit. He's not a lone op, but like you have like one model that is toughness 3 or 4 that you have a very similar unit in an autarch that have a lone op and he can die. But if you think about like all the implications of him having going back to the game at the end of the phase, him dying, giving you ability to, like back in the day, giving ability to teleport Incarn and how it's called, and how much damage he actually deals between the grenades and his gun, and like giving the miracle dice, or not, it's not miracle, it's the fate dice on him. Yeah. How much options he gives you. You just at some, like if you go through the codex so many times, at some point you're gonna find something basically.
Okay.
Like for example, I think it's very underrated data sheet that I was thinking is the worst data sheet in the Necrons codex, the Trans in the Infinite. I think if you add him to like a 5-man unit of Lich Guard in Hypercrypt, giving you ability to have sticky objectives, can be kind of cool for how much he costs and the unit of Lich Guard. Like you have like semi-decently durable unit that will make objective sticky, and you can pick him up, drop somewhere else, pick him up, drop somewhere else, or just run him across to other objective. Like, can be quite cool. Might not be optimal choice at this point, but if for any reason there's gonna be a build that is very good at killing stuff on objective. So for example, Codex Tech Thousand Sons come out and they can do 20 Doom Bolts, but they cannot move. You need something that's gonna still hold your objectives, but will not need to survive on the objective to do it. So that might be a good thing to have, like sticky objectives on this unit, right? I don't know. It's just a matter of understanding meta and going through the data sheets over and over again. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for answering those questions, Gita, and thank you for running us through this Necron Masterclass, both parts 1 and part 2. Guys, as always, well, if you're watching this, you probably have at least considered becoming a patron, or if you're watching this a little bit down the road, When it's become public, then please do consider becoming either a patron or a YouTube member. Please remember also to follow us on all our social media outlets and make sure to tune into next episodes. But for now, we are leaving this space. Thank you very much, Gita.
Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be here.
It was, as always, a pleasure to have you on and listen to you talk passionately about the Supreme Metal Overlords. For now, it's bye-bye.
Bye.